فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة لا تبديل لكلمات الله ذلك هو الفوز العظيم صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders, Jannat is a place full of comfort. There isn't a second, there isn't a moment in Jannat where there will be any gloom, any grief, any fear. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. No grief of the past and no fear of the future. There will be no fear of the future and no grief of the past. These are the two occasions that man normally fears, either the past or he's afraid of the future. And Allah Ta'ala assures the believer, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. There is no grief and no fear, nothing to worry about. On the other hand, Jahannam is a place full of grief, pain. وَهُمْ يَسْتَرِخُونَ فِيهَا رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي كُنَّا نَعْمَلْ. They'll be shouting and wailing there all the time, crying out for help. There is no question of happiness there, no joy, no cheer. It's just grief, it's just pain, it's just crying and shouting all the time. This world that we live in, Allah Ta'ala has made it a combination of the both. There are occasions of happiness and there are occasions of sorrow and grief. If there are times of comfort, then there are times of pain and difficulty. The problem is where we wish to make this world a comfort-free zone, total comfort. Now this is impossible in the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this world absolutely comfortable without any problem, without any pain. It's impossible. Every coming day we hear of some difficulty, some pain, some problem. The poor or the wealthy is going through some difficulty. If it is not from the wife, then it is from the child. If it is not from the child, then it is the extended relative. If all that is all right, then the business, there is some problems. If that's all right, then some investment is going down. Somewhere down the line, there is some problem. Now, the solution to the problem is not to eliminate it entirely, but to understand how do we conduct ourselves in the face of these problems. Eliminating the problem entirely is not within our reach. It's not within the reach of man. But yes, how do we conduct ourselves? How do we go about dealing with the problem? This is what we need to understand. The awliya and the pious, the righteous servants of Allah Ta'ala, they are an ideal example for us. They had emulated the teaching of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they had brought the ways of the Sahaba Ikram in their lives. So at any given moment, for any given situation, their lives will be a precedent and a lesson for us. Hazrat Rabia Basariya rahimahullah had passed away and she was lowered down in the grave, and we know it that when a mu'min or any person is lowered into his grave, and he is interrogated by two farishtas, We know them as Munkar, Nakir. And everybody has to go through this trial. She was also confronted with the same. Malaika had come and they had interrogated her like they would do on their normal routine. And they put before her the same questions that they would put before anybody. So she was totally composed and calm, and she looked towards those malaika that come with fiery eyes, very, very frightening. Mankind cannot imagine such creation coming with such fear and such horror. In spite of the horror and the fear that they had come with, she was absolutely relaxed, totally calm, and she inquires from those two farishtas that are interrogating her, that where have you come from? Imagine that Rabia Basariya, she is confronted here with the two malaika, and they have come with faces that are absolutely frightening. But she is totally composed and totally calm. She is not moved in the least. She inquires from these two farishtas, where have you come from? They say, we have come from the heavens. All right, what is the distance from the heavens to the earth? You have also accomplished a distance from the heaven to the earth. What is the distance? Well, a distance of thousands of miles. So the Rabia turns around and tells them that you have come from the heavens to the earth. You have covered a distance of thousands of miles, and you haven't forgot Allah Ta'ala. You haven't forgotten Allah Ta'ala. Yes, we haven't forgotten Allah Ta'ala. So Rabia says, and me, I have only gone 6 feet down. Do you think that I can ever forget Allah Ta'ala? Now this answer can be given by that person who's totally calm and relaxed. We may prepare our minds, but when we are before the court, everything goes wrong. Everything goes wrong. But the one that is totally relaxed, totally calm, he is composed. In the worst situation, he brings up the best of answers. This is because Allah Ta'ala strengthened the heart. لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. Allah Ta'ala strengthens the heart of the believer. And this strengthening of the heart goes on at all times. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. These friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is absolutely no fear that they go through in this world and the next. It's not just in the next world that they have no fear and grief, but in this very world, Allah Ta'ala frees them and He exempts them from all the type of grief and fear that man normally would go through. Ibn Atta rahmatullah alayhi says, like the malaika come down to believers at the time of death, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. At the time of their death, the malaika come to console and comfort. In the same manner, they come also in the time the man is lowered into the grave. Then again, when he gets up from the grave and appears before Allah Ta'ala, the malaika befriend him and they strengthen his heart and they cheer him up, they pick up his morale. This is the one side of the story. And the other side of it is that in this very life, that believer that is righteous, he is loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't betray Allah ta'ala, nor does he betray the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then every day of his life, the malaika descend upon him and strengthen his heart. They pick up his morale. The malaika coming and encouraging him and giving him good words of comfort may not be heard by the physical ears, but his heart can experience it, that alhamdulillah, I'm getting some cheer, some type of comfort every day. Now the question is that how do we acquire this composure, this comfort, and this composure of the mind, this calmness and this serenity, this happiness of the mind, how do we acquire it? From the Quran and the Hadith, we understand that believers need to do three things in the face of calamities, afflictions, trials. This will go on. But what we need to do is three things. We are commanded to do three things. These calamities and situations that come about are actually lessons for us. That's why the poet says, "In qilabat zamana, waiz rab hai, har taghayyur se sada aata hai, fafham, fafham." That in these changes that we go through every day, in reality, they are an admonition from Allah Ta'ala. Waiz rab hai. It is an admonition from the side of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Har taghayyur se sada aata hai, fafham, fafham. That from in every change, in every situation, there is a subtle voice that is coming, a subtle divine voice that is coming and telling you that open your eyes now. Now understand, now reflect. فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. The man was healthy and he was coming to the masjid, and there suddenly there was a heart attack and he passed away. We spoke to him the last day, just the previous day we had spoken to him, he was healthy and he was speaking in good spirits, and here he's gone. Yesterday we had spoken to him, he had performed namaz, he was absolutely all right. He was just young, 20, 25 years of age. And there he had some stomach complications. He went to the doctor and he was diagnosed for cancer, and the next day he passed away. These things are quite common. We hear it all the time. The husband and the wife, they were enjoying life, and someone after 40 years had to whisper something in the ears of the husband or the wife. And now that relationship of peace and muhabbat is changed into a relationship of disaster and enmity. Now don't we see this? All the time we see these things. Now what do we do? In the face of these situations, what do we do? So Allah Ta'ala has made the human race superior to all other races, to all other creation. He has given him a superior intelligence, understanding, rationale, the ability to reflect. These situations are meant for lessons for us. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّنْ قَبْلِكَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. We had sent warners, Allah Ta'ala says, we had sent warners to the nations in the past as well. Warners, people advising, giving good counsel, were sent to the people in every generation, every time. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ. But when people had ignored and showed a disconcerned attitude, disregard for this warning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, we had set them with situations, difficulties, adversities, hardships, all type of conditions, favorable, unfavorable conditions. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ, so that mankind could come back to his senses. He may reflect, he may lower himself, he may humble himself, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg and implore, and seek the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing we need to do is reflect and see that our records with Allah ta'ala is straight. Where have we gone wrong? We take an account of ourselves. We scrutinize ourselves before we scrutinize anybody else. And where have we gone wrong? Bringing about favorable conditions and unfavorable conditions is the work of Allah ta'ala. And mind you, this does not only refer to material things, it refers to spiritual things as well. Spiritually, one was feeling very high. He was going. He had been experiencing a lot of delight and happiness in his dua, in his recitation of the Quran, in the performance of namaz. Now everything has just collapsed. He can't get up for tahajjud. He can't get the takbirah ula. And there is a total collapse in his conditions spiritually. So the lesson for this, the ilaj for this, the remedy for this, is to turn with humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking a stock of yourself. Allah ta'ala is the creator of all, whether it's black, white, yellow, blue, whatever. He is the creator of all. And he listens to everybody's dua. But provided the person is coming to Allah ta'ala straight, he's coming biqalbin salim, he's coming with a sound, clear heart, clean heart. He doesn't have any hidden agendas. That he's making tawbah and istighfar with some type of hidden agenda. Allah Ta'ala will pick it up straight away. He will get it straight away that this man has got some agenda. Just out of convenience, he's asking me. He is not sincere about what he is doing. We heard of the Tatari invasion 6, 7, 8 centuries ago in the Abbasid Khilafat. And there was total anarchy, chaos, zulm, oppression from the side of the believers. The Muslims were massacring. They were unjust. One Tatari, non-Muslim, kafir, he ascends the mountain and he pleads to Allah Ta'ala on one leg and he says, "O God of the Muslims, I hear you love justice. I've heard of your justice and I've heard that you answer du'as, you answer the person that supplicates to you. I have called on my gods, but all of them had failed to answer and respond to me. But I hear that you answer the supplications and du'as of people, so I'm supplicating to you. Is this what your servants, your Muslims, and your beloved doing? Is this right? Is this justice?" And he goes on crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, standing on one leg on a cold winter's night. He goes on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that Allah ta'ala allows kingdom with shirk. Shirk is tolerable with kingdom and rulership, but injustice is not tolerated. The man goes on crying, and in the early part of the morning, he hears a voice that you come down the mountain and our support and our assistance is with you. The history has got it in record that thereafter, a single Tatari woman would see a whole group of Muslims that were the oppressors at the time. She would see a whole group of Muslims and she would say to them, "That you just wait here. I'm going inside to fetch my dagger." And she would come out and slaughter each one of them like how we would slaughter goats at the time of Bakra. Allah Ta'ala just turned the tables around. He filled these people's hearts with horror and terror. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that controls. He is the supreme controller. He's got no special relationship with anybody. All of us are his servants equally. We need to see within ourselves, where are we going wrong? Within our employee, within our staff, within our neighbors, within our fellow Muslims, non-Muslims, whoever, are we playing it justly or not? Allah Ta'ala likes this, He appreciates this. And remember, Allah Ta'ala answers everybody's dua. In this world, Allah Ta'ala answers the duas. And let alone ourselves, even the dua and supplication of Shaitan was answered. When he was rejected, he was thrown out of the heaven. At that time, he raises his hands and says, "Rabbi anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun." He says, "O Allah Ta'ala, spare me till the day of Qiyamah." Imagine, just imagine for a moment that someone has killed your son, one and only son he's killed, and he asks you for a small plot of land on the side of your business. Are you prepared to give it to him? You aren't. But Shaitan knows Allah Ta'ala is not overcome with anger. Under all conditions, he is sane. He is not overcome with any situation. We will be overcome with anger. We will be overcome with happiness. Allah Ta'ala is one and the same all time, at all times. So he asks and begs Allah Ta'ala, "Spare me till the day of judgment." At the time that Allah Ta'ala has rejected him, given him an eviction order, "You get out of here." But he's got the heart to ask Allah Ta'ala. Now in actual fact, this incident is a great consolement for a believer. That Allah Ta'ala, when He answers the dua of Iblis, then me as a believer, won't He answer my dua? He will definitely answer it. He will definitely answer it. That believer is not required to be despondent and to despair of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala at any time. No matter what happened. A person slaughtering and murdering 100 people, he comes to Allah Ta'ala with a clean heart. "Allah Ta'ala, I'm acknowledging my sin. I'm not asking you for tawbah out of convenience. No, I need to change my life." And Allah Ta'ala says, "I have forgiven you." 100 lives He has taken, innocent people's lives He has taken. But He has come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a clean, earnest heart. And Allah Ta'ala is prepared to forgive him. So won't Allah Ta'ala answer our du'as? Yes. We need to ask Allah Ta'ala with that conviction, with that certainty that He is going to answer the du'a. And remember, we can't be pushing Allah Ta'ala, "Allah Ta'ala, you need to answer my du'a today." He knows in his wisdom, in his knowledge, he knows when it is the best time to answer the dua. He has answered the dua, but for the time, for the materialization of that dua, it may take some time. That small little child of yours, 4 or 5 years of age, he asks you for a fully loaded gun. As much as you love him, you would give and sacrifice your life for him, but you know for yourself that it is totally wrong to hand him over the gun at that age, because it's disaster. You will say, yes son, you have got the gun, but it will only come in your control at this age, 25, 30, when you are fully matured, when you are intelligent. Otherwise you will use it against yourself. So Allah Ta'ala answers the dua, but there may be a time for it to materialize. So we can't push Allah Ta'ala. We are beggars in the court of Allah Ta'ala. We will go on begging. He will reply when he knows it is best for us. So this is the first thing that is required of us, that we ask and supplicate. We get our record straight with Allah Ta'ala and beg him. The second requirement is to be patient. I think I've got 5 minutes left, is it right? 5 minutes. The second thing that is required in the face of calamities is to be patient. Allah Pak says, after he speaks about calamities, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصِ. He speaks about calamities that I'm going to try you. I'm going to put calamities upon you. You want to suffer loss of life, loss of wealth, dignity, respect, all this, you will suffer this. You were in the public eye and suddenly you collapsed. All these things will happen. But he says, at all times what I want of you is وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. You remain steadfast at all times. You remain steadfast at all times. And I know, I have designed you. I have created you. And I know your entire journey. Your journey to the Akhirat, your journey to Jannat and Jahannam. I know about it. So you leave that to me. You leave that to me. But when I set you with a trial, then you remain patient. Because if you remain patient, I will be with you. My assistance is with you. My help is with you. My support is with you. A Muslim is required to believe in what Allah Ta'ala says, not what his imagination and his rationale and his reason says. Our reasoning may say something, and Rasulullah Pak Sam says something. So we don't believe in our reasoning. We believe in the Mubarak words of Rasulullah Pak Sam. Therefore, the first description of the believer that is given in the Quran, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. We believe in the unseen. We haven't seen it, but yet we believe. Just because Rasulullah Pak Sam had spoken about it. The hadith says, on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah Ta'ala will be distributing the rewards and sabab, a namazi will come, Allah Ta'ala will measure his namazes and grant him his sawab. This is the amount of namazes you have performed, this is your sawab. And the next person will come with his rozas will be measured. This is the rozas that you have kept, and that's your sawab. But the patient will come, يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah Ta'ala says that patient, the one that persevered for my sake, on my account he persevered, not out of convenience. Not out of convenience. They say in Urdu, sabar majboori ka naam hai. It's a wrong thing. It's not wrong. Not sabar majboori ka ta naam nahi hai. It's not out of convenience that you are patient. Because of situations and circumstances that you are patient. Rather, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are patient. That He will reward us. He will bless us. He will bless us immensely. One person was in the services of Muhammad Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, and he heard about the rights of people. You have to be very particular about the rights of people. Don't usurp the rights, don't hurt them, don't encroach on their rights. A boss worker relationship, and over ghussa and anger had overcome him, and he slapped the staff. Later on he understood that I have done wrong, it's total injustice. Allah's azab can fall upon me. But then with more reflection and thought, he felt, if I'm going to ask the staff for forgiveness and apology, because of his position, he will readily say, no, I've forgiven you. Because he knows, if I'm not going to forgive him, then I might risk my job, I might lose my job. So I don't have the free will to say what I want. And the staff will just forgive. So he thought of another plan, and he thought to himself that really forgiveness means that the staff must be really happy with me. He must forget what has happened in the past and he must be really happy with me. So he said, no, he thought to himself that I've given him a slap. It was wrong, totally wrong. He pulled out 500 rands and he gave it to another staff to go and pass it on to him. He received that 500 rands in lieu of the slap that was received. But then he wanted to make out whether the man feels happy about it or not. So he sent one person to go and find out, Kaji, tum khush bhi ho? So he says, Are Baba, hum to khwahish karte ke rozana mein ise tamasha milta rahe. We are anticipating, we are hoping to get slaps like this every day. 500 rand for a slap is worth it. So Allah Ta'ala is giving us one small slap, small little slap, a minuscule. And for that he will give us millions, not millions, trillions, brothers. What the world cannot take. That little difficulty, little complications, difficulties, hardships. The wife's face is pulled up. The staff are not working as they're supposed to be working. There's difficulty everywhere. That little bit. But we have that conviction deep down our hearts that we're going to get reward for this. The third thing that is required is to consult with our seniors. I will just mention one hadith and I will end this talk. There is a call for jihad. One man gives his name up. I'm prepared for jihad. I wish to go out. But now there is a conflict. On the one end, I've got my parents. They are old and they are aged. They require my service. On the other end is jihad. And the sawab for jihad for a martyr is such that before the first drop of blood falls onto the ground, all his sins are forgiven, wiped out totally. But now it's a conflict. Now what do I do? Do I take a decision on my own? Do I become self-opinionated? Or do I ask my senior? The way of the sahaba kiram was that don't take the decision yourself. You have got Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ Rasul Allah, you have got you in your midst. You have got a problem. There's a conflict of interest. How you refer to Rasul Allah, ask him, what should you do? Don't take that decision on your own. This is the problem for the day. That each person feels that I am an independent person. I don't need to take counsel from the next person. From an alim, from a buzurg, from a sheikh. I don't need to take counsel. This is a problem for the day. So he asks Rasul tells him, are your parents alive? فَفِيهِمَا فَجَاهِدْ Go and strive in their service. Go look after them. Rasul has left the world. Now, after Rasul will be his deputies, the Buzruganuddin, Mashaykh, and the learned, pious, righteous ulama-i kiram. They are the naibin of Rasul. They are the deputies of Rasul. Whilst he was alive, we would have referred to him in every situation. And when he is gone, we will refer to his naibin. May Allah grant us tawfiq.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.